I'm Tilly. I'm a dog behaviourist down in the southeast of Kent, and I do home visits. So today I wanted to talk about nervous dogs that aren't reactive yet. Okay, so I say yet because it is primarily nervous dogs that I see when I do see reactivity. Reactivity is one of the things I see the most. It can be barking, aggression, lunging, that kind of thing. There are lots of reasons for reactivity. It can just be excitement or prey drive, but the most I see it for are because the dog is nervous and it's just making a big loud noise and hoping that the big scary thing is going to go away, yeah, because they can't deal with it. But I wanted to talk about nervous dogs before they get to this stage of being reactive, because they're not born like this, right? They're not born using this tactic to push things away. It's because they've been put into situations that they just can't handle. So for instance, today somebody spoke to me about a dog that they had seen. It wasn't their dog, they're a groomer, so it came into grooming, and it was a Romanian dog, and it was so traumatized and scared that it just pooed and weed everywhere, absolutely terrified. And because she's a fantastic groomer, she said, look, I'm not grooming your dog, and she just sat on the floor with it for half an hour and let it calm down and relax around her presence, which is absolutely what that dog needs. But we need to start looking at our dogs before they react. So if you've got a reactive dog, I'm not saying it's too late, but I'm not going to kind of cover techniques and that in this podcast. I just want to talk about nervous dogs as a whole and how to help them so that they're not going to turn into this kind of reactivity. So what's going on is the dogs are nervous and not knowing what to do, and especially if they're not showing any kind of aggression or anything, people and dogs as well can do this. They kind of take advantage of that, if you like. I know it sounds kind of horrible, but that's what's going on. So, you know, you can get a dog in for grooming or even, you know, with other dogs or whatnot, whatever it's frightened of, and because it's not showing aggression, people just keep pushing and pushing. They think, well, you know, we'll just do it. The dog's not showing aggression, we can do it. What's happening is the dog is still saying no, but no one is listening. So the next time that dog goes to, you know, the groomers and whatever, then it might start using aggression then, or maybe the time after that, because it's having a bad experience. It's still having a bad time. It's panicking, it's traumatized, it doesn't know what to do. It just wants it all to stop. So next time it's going to remember that and thinking, this was awful, maybe I'll start using aggression. Unfortunately, once dogs learn that this stops the thing coming towards it, you know, even most people, it will make you at least hesitate, right? So the dog reads that and they're like, right, this definitely works. No one's listened to me so far, so I've got to use this. You know, especially with things like other dogs. So they might just use aggression with a dog that has come up a bit too harshly and they're nervous, they can't deal with it. Right, I'll give him a little snap so he goes away. Or maybe the next time it will just be like, right, the dog's come up, now I'm snapping. And then the next time, right, they're on sight, I've seen one, I really don't want it coming up at all, I can't deal with it, I'm just going to start barking from afar. And this is what happens. The dog is very clearly feeling basically left on its own, that there's no one there to advocate for it, so it's having to do it itself. Now, dogs can't talk, you know, they can't use words or anything, so they could only really use teeth. If people aren't listening to them, that's the next thing they go for. And that's kind of when people start getting involved. And then it's like, oh, now we do need to sort this out, because our nervous dog has been in lots of situations and now is using aggression and we don't know what to do. But what we need to do is start noticing nervous dogs before this starts and thinking, right, that dog's nervous, I need to help that dog, rather than that dog's nervous, not showing aggression, let's just plough on. You know, let's just bulldoze our way through. We can't do it. So things like, if your dog's nervous of other dogs, things that would be good for that dog is meeting very old, very slow dogs on a lead and letting them have a little sniff on the bum. Yeah, not faces. Faces are very confrontational and you've got eye contact and all that. So just let your nervous dog go up, have a sniff and then walk away. That will massively raise its confidence. Yeah, so that's all we kind of really need to do. We just need to build confidence rather than, you know, let's take our nervous dog to the park and let all and sundry climb all over it and bully it, really. then it doesn't matter because our dog's not doing anything, he'll just get over it. Not necessarily. It might just go from bad to worse. It depends how nervous your dog is. Yeah, but at some point, if they really want to go away and no one is listening to them, they will end up using some adverse reaction. Just like if somebody was all over you at a pub, you know? Some of these dogs, dog behaviour is not, they're not meant to physically touch each other if they don't know each other. They're not meant to kind of bound up to each other and everybody's happy like Disney. They're very polite in a natural way. And they're meant to circle each other, have a little sniff and part, and it's all meant to be calm. When they get to know each other, that's when they have a game and they can tussle and everything, but it's not meant to be that straight away. Just like you wouldn't go to a pub and just put your arm around someone just because you kind of like the look of them, you know, in the first meet. Well, you know, you might if everybody's drunk and having a laugh, but you know what I mean. You can't just do that. You know, you'll be done for harassment, basically. And this is what's going on. The dogs are often physically touching the other dog, trying to put his head over the top, even trying to mount the other dog. It's not polite and it shouldn't be happening. And these nervous dogs have got no way of getting them apart. I mean, the dog should be reading this body language, really, yeah? So the nervous dog is saying no by trying to move away and kind of move their back end away or even sit down so the dog kind of stops sniffing. So the dog is trying to do that. Now, the other dog should be listening. But what happens, you know, we get these dogs, we put them into our homes and we do all the wrong things and suddenly they're not showing the right behaviour anymore. So this is what's going on. If you do get this situation, by all means, shoo the other dog away. This is what you need to do for your dog. You don't have to be aggressive or get nasty. You can just say, sorry, my dog's really nervous. Could you please call your dog? We're just not used to dogs yet. Yeah, so we need to set this up. Now, I know a lot of people are probably going to feel a bit worried about shooing someone else's dog away, but it's absolutely within your right to advocate for your dog. It doesn't matter that the other dog's not aggressive, you know, it doesn't matter, even if they're really calm, polite, it doesn't matter. Your dog needs help. It's not ready for this situation. We need to get in between and send the other dog away. Even, you know, even address the other dog if you need to. If the owner's miles away, it's like, ah, no, back, gone. Gone, you know, make, wave your arms and make your voice loud. Get the other dog away. Shield your dog from this other dog if you have to as well, so that you're kind of getting in between. This will massively improve the trust of your dog in you as well. What happens if we're kind of letting our dog go for this situation and no one's helping? The dog loses faith in us as the owner to do anything. And then it's like, well, what can I do? They're not going to do anything. I've told this dog, I'm nervous, I don't like it. Well, I'm going to have to use my teeth now. That's obviously my only other option. Oh, and look, it works. So we're going to go with that one from now on. So that's what I mean, really. I want to kind of get in there early. Now, I'm not saying we're going to baby your dog or pick your dog up and cuddle it and just avoid all situations it can't handle. That's not what I want to do at all. In fact, leaving a situation it can't handle is going to do more damage, right? So I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about setting your dog up to win. So you need to find a spot, if you like, where your dog is semi-comfortable with it. So not where it's absolutely terrified and losing the plot, but something that it's slightly uncomfortable with that we can work it out with. And all you need to do is just stay in that relaxed mode. You know, you don't have to do sit, stay or lay. Just kind of like be around the other dog or situation. It can be traffic. Create the distance because traffic can be noisy. Don't like, right, we're going on the motorway today. You know, we can't do that. We've got to find a quiet road, create the distance, and just poodle along. You know, get your dog acclimatized to these things. And it is tedious. You know, it is tedious when you've got a nervous dog, but I can tell you it's far worse when they've gone into reacting and now you've got to work with the reaction as well. That's so much harder than just taking the time to help out your nervous dog and say, look, it's not that scary, it might be loud, you know, it's just a car, it's just a dog, and we get on our day. They don't come up to us. You don't have to worry about it. I've got this. It's going to increase your dog's confidence day by day. So we can't kind of flood our nervous dogs. So flooding is a technique that it's kind of like, I think you would describe it as old school, really. It's where you want your, it could be used with any animal, yeah? So you want your animal to get used to something and you just go all the way through it. So if you were kind of breaking in a horse, yeah, the flooding technique would just be to put someone on its back with a saddle all geared up, and there you go, and now the horse is, you know, running around and whatnot. Whereas what you want to do actually is like handle the horse, right? First you want to handle it, bring it in, pick up a saddle, move a saddle, put it on its back, take it off. You want to do it gently, yeah. So we don't want to flood our dogs with, oh, I'm terrified of dogs, let's go to the dog park, they're all going to jump on you. It's a recipe for disaster, and it could end up with your dog being reactive. Same with traffic. If your dog's scared of traffic, but you've got to go through this really busy road to get to the dog park, well, you just can't do that. Yeah, I'm sorry, it's not convenient. Yeah, life isn't, I'm afraid, but that's something that we can't do, because your dog will never get over it. We need to build up gently. It's not just a case of, right, if we do it like 100 times on the busiest street, she'll get over it. If she's going into an extreme fear state, then she will always learn to be in that extreme fear state. It's just a pattern that will keep repeating itself. What we want to do is we want to go into an uncomfortable state and then back into a calm state, yeah, as quickly as we possibly can, so that the dog learns, right, there's a car, I'm comfortable with that. Oh, but now I'm relaxed and calm, I'm having treats, you know, you can use chicken and stuff like that, and high value treats. So we make positive associations as well. But a lot of this problem behaviour that I'm seeing can be solved early if we help the dogs from an earlier start. So I see a lot of this with dogs from abroad. Now, they're not all like this, but it is a very traumatic journey, kind of coming from the rescue all the way to us. And then they're put in a house. A lot of them haven't even been in the house. And, you know, they're kind of used to kind of living a kind of feral lifestyle, really, and now they're in a house and they're expected to behave. That's quite traumatic. You can get dogs in this country that are just as traumatized by other things. So I'm not saying it's just dogs from abroad, but they are definitely more likely to have this behavior. So we've got to take things slowly and gently. Routines help as well. I've got another kind of series podcast on rescue dogs, so if you want to kind of check that out, if you have a rescue dog, you'll find that very useful. But nervous dogs, we do need to get in early, we do need to help them out, give them lots of different experiences, all at their own pace. That's what I mean. Even if you have a new puppy, you know, don't kind of have everybody over to see the new puppy. You know, it's not a teddy bear, it's not a toy, it's going to be a bit stressed, you know, and a bit stressed is fine, as long as you don't put anything on top of that. So coming home will be stressful. We don't want a party on top of coming home. Does that make sense? So we want to deal with the only like limited amount of stress, and then getting the dog to recover. And like I said, you don't have to do anything particularly special. We don't have to start like playing fetch or anything in the middle of the street. Just being in the moment with the dog not pulling on the lead, for instance. So we've got a nice loose lead, nice relaxed. If your dog's too stressed, then you need to get out of the situation. But like I said earlier, we don't want to leave a bad situation. We want to increase the distance of the situation, or improve the situation, and then try again slowly forwards. So like if you've got a main road, you want to start edging towards the main road. If you've gone too far, now your dog's freaking out, don't stay there. You know, if you can't calm your dog down, don't bother. Come back out. We're not leaving, we're not going home, but we're coming back to a safe spot for the dog, so that the dog can cope. Once we've calmed down, we can decrease the distance again. We can get nearer to the scary thing. It's not going to be like a one-day fix. It's not like, right, today we're going to head all the way up to the M25. It doesn't matter how long we're going to, you know, be out there. We're going to do it. We're going to do it all in one day, and the dog will be fixed. It's not like that. It really is baby steps. It's one bit at a time. You do have to put a bit of pressure on your dog, yeah, because nervous dogs, they'd rather just avoid everything. So you do have to put a bit of pressure on your dog. And like I said, make sure there's something sweet on the end of it, some chicken or treats or something. Otherwise, you know, it's not worth it, is it, for them? I mean, it wouldn't be worth it to me if it wasn't getting anything good at the end of it. So that's always useful, so kind of to have in your back pocket, something that they don't usually get. And then it becomes like, oh yeah, I love doing this, you know, this game with the cars or whatever, because, you know, when I see a car, I get a bit of chicken. I had to do that with Flick a few times because she was terrible with traffic. That's a street dog thing as well. So anything kind of loud and big and noisy, she would run away. So we just kind of played like the chicken game with her. But definitely being more aware of your dog's body language and what they're doing, particularly key things really, kind of dropped ears, dropped head, trying to move away, low tail, kind of nervously looking around, that kind of behaviour. As soon as your dog's in that state, we need to get involved. Yeah, what's stressing out the dog? What can we do to improve the situation? How can we help the dog out of it? We need to distract them. We need to kind of bring them forwards a bit. We need to make sure they're not going running and hiding. So things like having guests around, right, the dog needs to be on a lead, otherwise it's just going to dive under the table. No, you have to be with us. You don't have to get anyone to touch you or anything like that, but you do have to be with us in the room in a quiet bit. You can have a chew toy, you know, that's absolutely fine, but you can't just run away and avoid it. You need a little bit of pressure to make the change. But we don't want to flood the dog and then it's like, oh no, my dog's reactive, I never saw that coming. You probably did, you just weren't sure what to do. You know, like I said, we tend to take advantage of this behaviour, especially if we've got to get something done, like this groomer I met, absolutely fantastic. Another groomer might just think, right, well, I just want to get the job done, so I'm just going to do it and ignore all behaviour that I'm seeing because I really need to groom this dog and send it back to the owner. And then the dog sort of think, well, you know, no one's listening to me, I'm on my own, next time I'm going to bare my teeth and see where that gets me. They try different things to get what they want, you could say it like that. Similar, for opposite kind of effect, if you like, if I've got a dog kind of jumping up, it's trying to greet me, it's trying to say hello, so it has to learn it can only say hello to me when it's sitting and then it's getting a stroke and a treat. But they will try different options. If the jumping's not working and they've already learned to sit, they will automatically go into a sit. So we need to give them more information to go on. And the thing with nervous dogs as well, my last kind of point on them, is that they will always be nervous. They go through life nervously, if you like. So whereas confident dogs, you don't have to worry about them. Any new situation, they might be unsure, but they quickly get over it. As long as nothing bad happens, they quickly get over it and they're fine. Nervous dogs are always suspicious. They're suspicious of something going wrong. So it's important to get in there early with anything they're thinking, because they tend to be poor decision makers. What do I mean by this? I mean, like, if they make a decision, it's going to be the wrong one, like a bark or a lunge or a bite or something like that, because they're nervous, or they might just run away. Either way, the right decision would obviously be calm and with us in the moment. That's the right decision. But if they're kind of moving forward and they're going to make a decision, we need to get in there early. It's like, ah, no, remember, we're a team, we're together, you know, look at me, be with me, you don't need to panic, everything's fine, I've got this. I'm obviously not saying say this as words, but that is how it translates for your dog. Basically, we want to kind of remember the connection. So think on that. If you've got a nervous dog, you do need to start addressing these things one by one, at least once a day, a different thing to kind of address, and take things slowly. And by the end, you'll have a confident dog. But again, if you get a new situation, your dog is still going to be nervous of it, and you're going to have to advocate for that dog. This is why I believe they're a lot harder, nervous dogs are a lot harder to have than even overconfident dogs, because they kind of, their default is suspicion, their default is, will I have to do something? Whereas the confident ones are, oh, it's okay, it's just a man in a hat, you know, it's someone in sunglasses. The nervous ones are like, oh, who's that? Why are they in sunglasses? Why are they in the house? Are they a threat? Are we, you know, do I need to step in? So it's like a constant reminder of, no, you're safe, you know, I've got this. Not you. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to deal with it. No one's going to come up to you, because I haven't ever let that happen. So we've got a good relationship of trust. We've practiced a lot of listening games, so you're used to listening to me. And we're going to shut it down straight away before it escalates. Because when it escalates, it's not just that. What happens then is it just becomes a habit. It's like, right, I see a dog and bark. That's just a habit then. It probably is still nervous as well underneath, but it's more of that it becomes a habit, whereas we want it to form, I see a dog and I'm calm. Yeah, we want them to form that habit. And if you've done everything properly and you've approached things calmly, your dog will be calm. That's fine. It's only like I said, when flooding happens. Not everything you can control. Totally accept that. There's going to be problems. If a nervous dog gets charged by a dog, that's going to be a much bigger problem for you than if a confident dog gets charged by a dog. So just bear that in mind. Particularly next time you're choosing your next dog. So that's it for today, and thanks for listening.
If you're interested in more videos or stuff that I do, I am on TikTok. I usually put my TikTok videos also on Facebook and Instagram, so just search Fawn Dog for those. And the main website is fawndog121dogtraining.co.uk. Thanks for listening, guys.